Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On this feast of St. Bartholomew, also known in Scripture as the Apostle Nathanael, we turn to the Gospel of St. Luke, who relates a disagreement or a dispute in which Bartholomew was involved together with the other 11 apostles on Maundy Thursday evening, as Jesus was preparing to perform the lowliest service anyone can possibly perform, to suffer and die. The Master humbling himself in service of his servants. And there was also a disagreement among them about which of them should be recognized as the greatest. Now it's almost unbelievable that the men who were closest to humble Jesus, the men who had spent the most time with humble Jesus, the men who had been hand-selected by humble Jesus to be the foundation on which he would build his church, could still harbor such lofty notions of grandeur, could still be so self-seeking, pining for glory and power and a name for themselves. But you know this sin too, don't you? You who, in every case, have been Christians even longer than the apostles knew Jesus. You think, at least according to your flesh, you think that you should be recognized above someone else, that you should receive higher praise and greater rewards than someone else. Now, it seems likely that each one of the apostles was trying to make the case for himself as the greatest, although it doesn't expressly say that. It's possible that some of them were making the case for certain of their brothers over others. Well, I may not be greatest, but Peter, he's the greatest. No, look, John is the one whom Jesus loves. He's the greatest. No, James. It has to be James. Well, in either case, whether they were seeking it for themselves or seeking to decide which of them it was, they were viewing themselves and the office of the holy ministry wrongly. And so Jesus had to correct them. He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors." Now that's fine for Gentile kings. That's fine for secular rulers. They have rank and degrees of authority, some higher, some lower. In the secular realm, there are lords and masters who give orders and servants who take them. Those who rule well and give orders well and govern well in the secular realm are looked up to, respected, called benefactors, doers of good. And they're generally rewarded in this life with glory and fame and respect. But it isn't to be that way in the Church of Christ or among the ministers of Christ. "But you shall not behave this way. Instead, let him who is greatest among you be like the youngest, and let the one who leads be like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who sits at the table? But I am among you as the one who..." Christ has a kingdom that's separate from the state, where things are to be done differently than they are among the pagans. In Christ's kingdom, he alone reigns as king. There is no other. And he has, through his church, set certain men into offices of authority in that kingdom by his own command and authority. Like Bartholomew, like the other apostles, like their successors, all who hold the office of the holy ministry. But unlike the secular realm, those who hold office in the holy ministry don't have a higher rank in the kingdom than laymen do. They just have a different job to do. And they are to do it as servants, not as rulers. Also, unlike the secular realm, all who hold office in the office of the holy ministry are equal with one another, having the same authority to preach and teach and administer the sacraments, to forgive sins to the penitent, and to refuse forgiveness to the impenitent. And we've had to take our own stand on that recently as one who was called bishop tried to exercise dominion over our congregation, contrary to Christ's command. What's more, those who hold office in the holy ministry are not given the sword with which to punish like the secular rulers are not given the right to use force or physical threats or get people to do things like secular rulers do. Instead, they are given only the word of God to preach, teach, correct, rebuke, encourage, to threaten sinners with God's wrath, and to comfort the penitent with God's forgiveness. Unlike in the secular realm, the greatness of the office holders in the church is not in exercising authority over other people, but in serving from below, as Christ served. Now, how did Christ serve? He didn't go around in fancy clothes, wearing expensive rings, expecting anyone to pamper him. Instead, he devoted his life to serving mankind. Serving not by taking orders from people and doing whatever they wanted him to do, but by giving his life to the people and for the people, by showing compassion, by saying what they needed to hear, even when it hurt their feelings, even when it hurt his own popularity and caused him to be hated. He served not by the power of the sword, but by the power of the word. He identified sin and rebuked and condemned it. He showed the people the Father's grace and love in sending his Son into the world to be a sacrifice for sin. He walked into the hands of those who hated him and gave his life to make atonement for our sins. He did it all in service to his Father and in service to mankind, which includes you and me. Now, Christ says to his dear disciples, "Mine is a ministry of service. All those who hold office in my kingdom must serve as I have served, and they must suffer as I have suffered." If you're looking for earthly splendor, he says, for a comfortable life, for the praise of men, then seek it somewhere else. You can't have that in my kingdom, and certainly not in the ministry, for your ministry must resemble my ministry. Now, yes, of course, there have been countless priests and pastors in the world who have not been faithful to Christ's word, who have told lies in Christ's name, who have sought earthly greatness, who have ruled from above instead of serving from beneath. To them, Christ will say on the last day, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But those who serve and carry out their ministry well in Christ's kingdom will have trouble, toil, and often ingratitude in this life. So be it. That's the ministry that Christ instituted. St. Paul's life as an office holder in the church was a striking illustration of Jesus' words. You heard in the epistle, the first lesson this evening, of the service and the sufferings of Paul and the other preachers. The weakness of Christ's ministers, who are all just like jars of clay, only serves to highlight the treasure of the cross of Christ and the power of God in gathering a kingdom to himself, not by force or by compulsion, but only by the power of his word and by the message of his grace. But who would submit to such a life, to hold the office of Christ, to shun earthly glory and comfort, to live a life of humble service and to suffer in this ministry? Well, here again, the promise that Jesus attaches to it. You are the ones who have continued with me in my trials, and I confer upon you a kingdom, as my Father has conferred it upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. For all your trouble and earthly misfortune, you do get a kingdom in the end, the authority to reign, not separately from Christ or apart from Christ, but together with him. Not in this world, though. Not here. Not now. Here you serve, he says. Here you do not rule and reign and sit at the table. But there in the next life you will. You will sit with me at my table, which, if a lord said to his servant in the days when there were lords and servants, the servants would marvel. The servants don't sit at the table with the master. They have their own table somewhere else in the house. And yet Jesus promises this great gift to those who are faithful to him. It was this promise that sustained Bartholomew and all the apostles in their future hardships and finally in their martyrdom. It's this promise that still sustains all faithful pastors and preachers. And actually, it's the same promise that sustains hearers of the word as well. Because while all Christians on earth are not office holders in the church, all Christians are clothed with Christ in holy baptism and called by the name of Christ. All Christians are called to serve one another in love. All Christians are children of God and co-heirs with Christ and fellow sharers in the sufferings of Christ then too. As Paul said, not to the pastors in Rome, but to all the Christians in Rome. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So the promise to sit with Christ at his table is for all believers in Christ. The promise of an end to earthly shame and suffering and of an eternal banquet of glory and peace is for all who walk by the Spirit, who persevere in faith until the end. Until the end, Christ continues to serve his whole church through the mouths and the hands of weak, sinful men who are jars of clay. That's what this office of the ministry is for in the first place. Not to exalt the minister, but to step into the role of Jesus to serve Christ's holy people and to hold out to them the word of life and the water of life and the New Testament in the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. This office of Christ is the way he has chosen to serve you still here on earth, to teach you, to correct you, to forgive, to comfort, to strengthen. Don't take this ministry for granted or allow the other items on your long to-do list bump Christ's ministry down out of first place where it belongs. Instead, rejoice that Christ wants to keep serving you and guiding you through this life and feeding your soul for eternal life through this ministry. Mine is a ministry of service. That was true for Christ, and it's true for every minister who follows in his steps. So let us give thanks today to God first for the Lord Jesus in his own service. and then also for the service and sufferings of Bartholomew, and then of all Christ's chosen ministers throughout the ages who have borne the office of Christ faithfully. The best way to thank God for these gifts is to make use of them to the glory of Christ Jesus and to the building up of his holy church. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.